Here's who I blame for war in the Middle East. Commentary. The body count is beginning to mount in Gaza. Some may even be legitimate civilians, though it's hard to tell in a territory filled with those who voluntarily decided to live under the brutal Hamas terror regime when others left. Nevertheless, death is death, and the Israelis have no choice but to follow through to obliterate Hamas completely. Otherwise, as their leader Yehia Sinwar has publicly warned, the atrocities of October 7 were just a rehearsal. Who would doubt him? Meanwhile, the Israeli Defense Force says to date it has discovered 800 tunnels in Gaza, hundreds of kilometers in length. 500 of them have been destroyed or sealed, including their shafts. The shafts were located in civilian areas, and many of them were located near or inside educational institutions, kindergartens, mosques, and playgrounds, the IDF reportedly said. No surprise there. And more is sure to come. The question that looms is, who paid for all this? Hamas has clearly built an underground city, the extent of which may never have been seen in the history of the world. The amounts of concrete, electrical wiring, lighting, food and medical supplies, communications devices, seemingly endless supplies of weaponry of all sorts, and who knows what else that's required, not to mention the man-hours expended in digging these tunnels that are often hundreds of feet below the ground, boggles the mind. For that kind of money, Gaza could easily have been turned into the beachfront Singapore-like paradise on the Mediterranean that many suggested when the Israelis handed it over gratis to the Palestinian Authority in 2005. As a harbinger of things to come, immediately thereafter the locals trashed the two extensive, seaside organic farms the Israelis also left behind intact as a present to the Palestinians. These farms were so agriculturally advanced they were feeding most of Israel at that point. 2 years later, Hamas took over from the PA, tossing their adversaries off roofs. One can assume that shortly thereafter, fueled by the same unmitigated Jew hatred that motivated the trashing of the farms, construction of the underground city began. Who paid for it? It's obvious, isn't it? Iran, with perhaps a bit more from some Arab friends such as Qatar. But who's funding Iran? Oil exports, of course, and that means, in part, us, the same exports that were sanctioned by Donald J. Trump when he was president, when there was no war in Israel/Gaza, nor in Ukraine. This peace wasn't good luck. It was caused by intelligent policy. DJT had closed the taps that Barack Obama had opened, putatively from President Obama's belief that he could convince the Iranians to abjure nuclear weapons. I happen to believe it was more than that, perhaps some question about which side he was on, but since I have no evidence other than President Obama's turning a deaf ear to the Iranian protesters attempting to overthrow the despotic Ayatollahs, preferring to negotiate with his new best friend, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, I will leave it there for the moment. Nevertheless, upon assuming office, President Joe Biden either to comply with President Obama, or on his own, or both lifted the Iranian sanctions that President Trump had imposed. Soon enough, Iran was oil-rich again, using its money not for its own beleaguered citizens but, unsurprisingly to anyone not in the Biden administration, to fund Hezbollah, the Houthis, Hamas, and numerous other smaller, but just as vicious Islamist terror organizations. It said Hamas had been planning its October 7th rampage for a year or so. That coincides well with their realizing that, thanks to President Biden's opening that spigot, their coffers and necessary supplies would be sufficient to wreak their planned havoc. In recent weeks, the seemingly distant Houthi are suddenly stepping forward, just now attacking several vessels in the Red Sea, including, apparently, an American warship. So far, our administration's responses have been less than a pinprick as the war continues to grow. How do you suppose a President Trump would have reacted were he still in office? Almost certainly just as he did with ISIS, with immediate and full dispatch aimed at putting the enemy out of business. Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Houthis et al. Know that as well as we do. Like most of the world, they study our polls and fear President Trump's return. That was all the more impetus for them to act now. This seems to be either lost on or deliberately ignored by the Biden administration, who seem more concerned with admonishing the Israelis not to hurt civilians, something that's impossible unless you want Yahya Sinwar to get his greatest wish along with his billionaire buddies in Qatar. The administration clearly wants to appease to the extent possible the pro-Palestinian marchers chanting the genocidal from the river to the sea. In all our major cities and most of our universities, these warnings to Israel come ad infinitum from our Secretary of State Antony Blinken, and now our Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, as if these men never went to college and are oblivious to what the United States did in World War II in Hiroshima, Nagasaki, and Dresden with mortality numbers that make Gaza seem like a trivial border skirmish. Yet we know perfectly well that Mr. Blinken, to the manner born, attended some of the finest schools in Europe and America and, as a longtime diplomat, and a Jewish one at that, is aware the IDF showed the way above all other armies in concern for civilians with its unique knock-on-the-roof practice of dropping non-explosive or low-yield devices on the roofs of targeted buildings to give the inhabitants an opportunity to flee before the actual attack. Still, Mr. Blinken, the dutiful servant of President Obama, and now President Biden, hectors the Israelis to do what America itself finally did by copying Israel in the 2016 war on ISIS. Shame on him. Shame, too, that President Trump isn't already our president again. Things would be fixed quickly.